What if the most powerful man in the world kept a diary not to record his conquests, but to remind himself how to be good? Marcus Aurelius ruled the Roman Empire at its height, commanding legions and deciding the fates of millions. Yet each morning, he wrote notes to himself about patience, humility, and how to deal with difficult people. These weren't public proclamations or philosophical treatises. They were private reminders, an emperor's attempt to stay grounded amid the intoxicating temptations of absolute power. Nearly 2,000 years later, these intimate reflections offer something unexpected, a manual for staying sane in a world that constantly pulls us away from what matters. The questions Marcus wrestled with: how to remain calm when others frustrate us, how to find meaning when everything is temporary, how to act with integrity when no one is watching, are precisely the questions that keep us up at night. Marcus opens with gratitude, cataloging those who shaped him. His grandfather taught serenity, his mother, simplicity, his writing teacher, clear thinking. This reveals something profound. We're not self-made. Even an emperor recognized himself as a mosaic of others' wisdom. What elevates this beyond politeness is specificity. Marcus doesn't offer vague thanks. He identifies exactly what each person gave him. When you recognize your kindness came from watching your father treat strangers with dignity, you're more likely to honor that legacy. Yet Marcus paired gratitude with stark realism. Today, I shall meet interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness. This wasn't pessimism, but psychological inoculation. Your worst days stem from the gap between expectation and reality. Marcus closes that gap by aligning expectations with actual human behavior. His deeper wisdom: difficult people act from ignorance, not malice. The driver who cut you off isn't evil. They're distracted, operating from limited understanding. This transforms irritation into compassion, helping you respond to reality rather than fight it. The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. Your mind colors reality through habitual patterns. Two people experience the same rainy day completely differently, one cataloging frustrations, another noticing wet earth smell and light through clouds. The difference lies in cultivated mental habits. Years dwelling on grievances creates a default lens of bitterness. Practicing attention to beauty reveals richness in ordinary moments. This isn't positive thinking. It's recognizing that attention is selective, and what you habitually notice shapes your subjective world. Examine your thought patterns. Do you automatically scan for threats, compare yourself unfavorably, replay embarrassments? These mental grooves deepen with use, but can be retrained. When spiraling into familiar negative territory, pause and ask, is this thought making my soul the color I want it to be? Marcus practiced radical mental hygiene, stripping away stories to see things as they actually are. Fancy meal? Dead animal flesh. Purple robe? Sheep's wool dyed with shellfish. Fame? Rattling tongues soon silent. This isn't joyless, it's liberating. We're constantly manipulated by narratives. That luxury car becomes a statement about worth. That smartphone, a status symbol. These stories create artificial needs and real suffering. Reducing things to material reality breaks their psychological grip. You can enjoy wine without believing it's more than fermented grape juice. This clarity creates freedom from desperate attachment. That intimidating CEO is just another human. Strip away inflated narratives, and a simple cup of coffee becomes miraculous, a convergence of agriculture, global trade, chemistry, and human cooperation. Marcus obsessively reminds us, you're going to die, probably sooner than you think, and everything you care about will vanish. This isn't morbid, it's clarifying. Reflect on last week. How much energy went to worries that barely mattered? Now imagine you had 1 year left. Would those concerns still command attention? Death awareness cuts through trivial concerns, obscuring what matters. When you internalize your limited time, questions answer themselves. Hold that grudge? Probably not. Postpone telling people you love them? Definitely not. Sacrifice integrity for a forgettable promotion? Obviously not. Marcus goes further. Even celebrated figures fade into obscurity. Alexander the Great, Augustus Caesar, names that commanded the known world are now historical footnotes. If their glory proved temporary, why expect yours to endure? This recognition isn't depressing, it's liberating. If nothing lasts, what matters isn't building monuments, but living with integrity in each present moment. In our marketing-saturated world, this stoic practice feels revolutionary. Next time you feel powerful desire, try the Aurelian approach. What is this, reduced to its simplest description? Your desire might evaporate, or you might discover what you actually value beneath the advertising. At dawn, when you have trouble getting out of bed, tell yourself, "I have to go to work as a human being." Marcus reframes work as expressing your nature, not bearing a burden. Despite unprecedented abundance, depression climbs. Perhaps we're missing something essential about fulfillment. Like bees making honey, humans have a nature seeking expression through rational action and social cooperation. Meaningful work isn't just paid employment, it's any activity expressing our distinctly human capacities. The parent caring for a child, the artist creating beauty, the teacher explaining concepts all do human work. This doesn't mean grinding into exhaustion. It means distinguishing busy work from genuine contribution, distraction from engagement. Next time you feel resistance to effort, try his reframing. This isn't an obstacle, but an opportunity to express what you are. In embracing rather than avoiding work appropriate to your nature, you find satisfaction that comfort-seeking never provides. The mind adapts and converts to its own purposes the obstacle to our acting. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. This paradox contains Marcus's most practical wisdom. External circumstances have no power to disturb you unless you grant it. Two people lose their jobs. One spirals into despair. The other recognizes an opportunity to reassess priorities. The external fact hasn't changed. The interpretation creates entirely different experiences. This isn't positive thinking or denial. It's clear-eyed recognition that our suffering comes not from events, but from our judgments about events. Marcus offers practical guidance. When something troubles you, ask whether it's within your control. If not, accept it. If partly controllable, focus only on the aspect you can influence. Does this affect your character, your capacity for justice and wisdom, or does it just affect body, reputation, possessions, things that aren't truly you? The next time you feel disturbed, try Marcus's approach. Is this affecting my character, my capacity for virtue? If not, it cannot truly harm me. In that distinction lies a freedom that circumstances cannot touch. In a world obsessed with control, Marcus Aurelius offers something more valuable: sovereignty over your own mind. These aren't ivory tower musings, but wisdom from a man managing an empire amid plague, war, and betrayal. He found peace not by controlling circumstances, but by governing his responses. The invitation remains open nearly two millennia later. Will you spend your energy fighting reality or focus on what you can actually control, the quality of your character? The choice, as always, is yours.